The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Don't say your locations or anything else if you don't want them in the show. Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. Here we are on a Wednesday. We've got an ad-free show for you. We've got Zuckerman. We've got Leibowitz. We have your questions, and we've had a lot of car fun this past weekend. We were out in Malibu. Zuckerman wasn't there, but Lieberman, you and I were out there for the big Audi RS e-tron GT debut. Great crowd. No more security.
Yeah.
No more health restrictions. Lots of people. Jay Leno in a Maserati 3500, I believe.
3500 GT 1962.
Yes. Gorgeous car.
That thing looked beautiful.
I brought out the Targa 4S that we can talk about. You brought this Gunther Works car.
Gunther.
It was great. It was a nice
day out there.
Huh?
No, I don't know what it is. Gunther.
Lieberman, I was just looking at your post. It was making me laugh because you were talking, you were asking for questions too, but you also were pointing out that Audi parked their car kind of weird and it made it hard to photograph,
it's just,
right?
Like, look, okay, let's say you have every single option in the universe on an RS e-tron GT. When it's brand new, it'll be $200,000. Jay Leno brings, I don't know, what's that thing? $1.5 million, right?
Yeah.
Just parks it next to it. It's fine. Everyone knows what they're doing. Great pictures all day. Gunther Works. This thing's $1 million. Parked it next to that. It's fine. Audi parks like slanted across three spots, and they put like a velvet, not even velvet, just a rope around it.
Yes.
So you can't get a decent picture. And then they have, I was there for 2 hours. They had all four doors open until their little camera guy, Dennis, was like, hey, can I get a picture of you in the car? I'm like, A, make sure you get my Cadillac shirt. B, like shut the door so we can see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And you know, Joe Richardson from Ferrari PR was there, and he's like, if there's a marketing budget, they can't help themselves. You know? they couldn't just put it next to Jay's car. That would have been the best thing they could have done. Everybody would have taken a picture of the Maserati. What's this cool-looking Audi? They also painted it in, like, non-color, right?
It's just, I liked it. No, yeah, I thought it was great-looking. But just the angle. It's funny because until I read what you wrote, I was like, why can't I get a good picture of this car?
Well, because there's a rope
around it. There's a stanchion in it, and it was blocking. I'm like,
But, like, all they had to do, because they're like, we don't want people touching it. I'm like, oh, Jay doesn't want people touching it. I don't want people touching it. All you got to do is park it, shut the doors, put the windows down. Nobody will touch the Audi, I promise. You know, I told them this.
But it was fun. It was still a fun day out there.
It was so cool they did it. It was so cool.
I know some of the listeners were like, why do you want corporate people now in your grassroots car show? Well, what? We're always driving these. We love these relationships with these brands.
Yeah.
It gets us good stuff to drive and review.
Yeah.
That's why we do things like that. Now, Zuckerman, you weren't in attendance.
No.
You decided not to. Many people asked after you, where is Zuckerman? Is he still afraid to come to the Cars and Coffee?
I don't like that many people. I don't.
In general. So it has nothing to do with the virus.
It has nothing to do.
You can get rid of that many. Just say, I don't like
nothing
people.
To do with the virus. I know that you're prompting me. I had a very minor surgical procedure.
I was not prompting you at all.
Yes, you were.
No, I was not.
Then we won't talk about it. Oh, there's just one thing I want to tell you.
He had to have his penis elongated just a little bit.
No,
it was
okay.
It's finally, he has the money for it.
Had they told me, Lieberman, had they told me that this process of minor local surgery would require me to be catheterized, I would not have done it. I can't believe in the informed consent. These motherfuckers, there's my F-bomb, didn't tell me that they were going to shove a pipe up my dick and then take it out. And so the first time after this procedure, I went to pee. It reminded me of 1983 when I had the gonorrhea.
Oh, boy.
That's how bad it hurt.
Welcome to Spike's Car Radio.
bad.
I did not want you to, I wasn't prompting you for this story. I was merely trying to tell you the fans were asking about you.
Oh,
and they
okay,
were curious.
Well, then we can
they were curious about, are you still afraid to come to the Cars and Coffee because of the virus? They want to see you out there is all.
The
minor surgery in the pipe in the penis was not where I was.
Well, if you find that to be gratuitous and you want to cut it out, hey, Will. Well, you can cut out my penis.
Was it better going in or coming out?
I was asleep when they did the whole thing. Okay. I was not cognizant of the whole catheterization until I was like, my God. The lady said, you got to pee before you leave. So I go to pee in the jug, and I'm just like, oh, my God, crying, razor blades. And I said, did you guys... Was I catheterized? And she said, of course. What do you mean, of course?
Yeah, that's weird.
I didn't get catheterized for, say, my colonoscopy.
Me neither, yeah.
And why couldn't they just put some sock on the outside of it to collect what wasn't coming out anyway? I don't understand.
Are you going to sue them?
No, but I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind when I see him on Wednesday for the follow up. I'm gonna say, are you fucking nuts? You're in ear, nose, and throat doctor. What are you doing touching my dick?
Yes,
this is not your sphere of influence down
right.
here.
Right.
When it comes to, I will go if I can get out these three parking spots and a velvet rope around.
Yes,
me. The crush of people. People mashing muffins into their mouth and spitting crumbs at me talking.
Did you experience any of that, Johnny? You brought your wife and your son. It was lovely
to meet
them.
You've never had anybody, people like chazing. It was just pushing in. Muffin, I know,
but we have next to no virus now. Now you
it was,
don't
it was
really
not
have...
worried about the virus. I don't like people, Ferrison. Don't you understand?
Well, I understand that.
But they like you.
They like
you.
Know,
you've created. You have fans now. They want to meet.
Look
the
at Lieberman's comforting me.
You know?
Look at the wise words of Lieberman.
What I don't like, I'll tell you what I don't like. I guess I did this to you last time, but lots of people were taking pictures of me at really belly enlarging angles.
Yes.
And posting them.
That's what I just did to the two of you getting out of the Gunther.
Yeah, so
and
I'm
I've done that.
I'm going in a burka next time or something. So whatever's slimming.
But you know what? Who cares?
No, I know.
The more
I really care.
Look like normal folks, the better.
You know,
we're not movie stars. We're vain.
No. Yeah.
But we're dads. We've been through a pandemic. We're old.
Yeah.
We like to eat. Fuck it all at this point.
You
we're
know
entering
who really
our
pulls
fuck it years.
His weight and body shape the best at Sunday Cars and Coffee. It would be that dude that puts that asbestos sock on his head. The fire retardant
right.
sock guy.
Yeah, I have a picture of him. Let me tell you.
Who has the world's, like, he's a numbers matching, like, 1979 Mazda 626.
This girl is going to be thrilled. Dominique Chalier from Australia, who's a listener and a fan, sent me this picture of that guy. First of all, here's the picture.
Oh, I saw
there
it.
There he is. Yeah. There he is. Look at him, Zuckerman. And she just wrote, he is hot. And she's a very good-looking woman. And she, you know, this guy is out there being himself, and that is hot. It's hot.
I just want to know.
Johnny, so just be yourself.
I'm myself. Trust me. I'm
don't worry about
245
it.
Pounds of meat. But
nope.
Have we seen that guy with his asbestos sock off?
I don't want to see him without his sock. I like.
Maybe he's like our best friend that we don't know.
He's quite nice. I've chatted with
very
him.
Nice.
I don't know his name, but I don't want to see under the mask.
Right.
I think that would be odd. Now, Zuckerman, you gave me a lot of shit for parking here when I came in, but I did this so we could look at both cars while we podcasted, right?
I could look at one car.
But tell me what more, Zuckerman gets mad when I don't pull in a thousand car lengths into the hangar. Just tell me where you want me to park.
Once you pull the way forward, it's a normal
thing.
You want me over there?
Wait,
let me ask you a question. When you pull into a parking spot, do you pull in halfway?
I'm coming into a podcast, and I want us to see both cars, and I want to take pictures of them.
You should pull forward a little bit more because you leave the other guy halfway on the entry grate.
But he's not. He's in all the way.
My back tires are on metal, not concrete.
They're not. They're on concrete.
Oh, look at that. Just
okay,
look at that.
Well, look. Yeah.
And
okay.
I can see them both, and we can take a nice picture here.
Okay, if that's how you want to do it.
But if you're not okay with it in this space, I'll move it.
I would just say that for me, If I came, I would pull all the way forward. That's just how you do it.
Well, here, let me tell you what I'm doing.
I understand you're illogical, but that's okay.
This is great for radio.
I'm telling you. No one can see anything.
That's all right. Well, this is now a long-running problem with him.
You can do your thing.
I pull into his hangar spaces, and in my mind, I'm trying to leave space perfectly so he can see the cars, and I get yelled at no matter what, that I'm not parking in the right place.
When I go to the other hangar, I can't get into and away around you.
But you just got to tell me where to park.
You
just, and then I'll park wherever you want.
Out of the way.
That's too much of a trap.
Generally speaking, how do I park?
I'm out of the way right now.
I'm just talking
about
when we're at the other hangar.
Yes.
When you get there before me.
Yes, I
set up. I don't want to be stuck behind you. I want to come and be able to park my fucking car.
But tell me where you want me to park. Do you want me to park in?
Just out of the way so I can get around you.
I don't know what that means. Do you want me to leave it outside the hangar, or do you want me to park it in the very end? But out of the way doesn't make sense to me.
Yes, it does, because when you pull in, you put it at the pinch point. You're like at you're at the Straits of Gibraltar.
So go deeper into the hangar.
Deeper to the left. Don't block the Straits. Don't cork the bottle.
This is the same problem, though. Spike puts that car so we can look at it during the podcast. That's why you put it there. The bike,
yeah,
or
it's nice to have a shot
reference.
To chat about it,
yeah,
and reference it. And, you know, but I'd rather not have the argument at the very start.
I enjoy the argument.
Podcast.
You should have seen him when we pulled in.
He comes in hot, and it's Monday. And look, we're all hot on Mondays. You're facing the week of work. Mm. Let's talk about cars.
Yes,
though.
Cars.
Because Johnny, I think. And I was on Matt Farah's show last week, and he drove the new GT3.
Yes.
You've driven it.
I have.
You can review it.
Yes.
Zuckerman and I are fans of this car. We have not driven it.
Yeah.
Tell us your thoughts, because
okay.
I heard what Matt Farah said. You know, in general, he said it's tilted more towards a race car than a street car.
Yeah, I don't know about race car, but track
tilted
car.
Towards the track.
Track,
a
yeah.
little more than previous iterations.
Yeah, so, you know, Porsche's claiming they couldn't get any more power out of it. So to get more performance out of it, they had to do, you know, what they know how to do. Is
power being?
Horsepower. Just
yeah,
because
but where are we at?
I think it's still 500, maybe 502. But, you know, just because of emissions and particulate filters and all that, they're claiming that's, well, you know, I think they're, you know, reserving space for the RS. And when they do the 992.2, they got to get more power out of the engine, blah, blah, blah. So how do you make, with the same amount of power, how do you make a car go quicker? You make it racier, right? And so it's, you know, it's going to ride stiffer. To be fair to what Matt said, I only drove it on Angeles Crest, and I drove it like at 10/10 the entire time. I didn't check anything out because I only had 20 minutes to drive it, just because Motor Trend had it and it had to go from Angeles Crest to Ventura for a photo shoot. But yeah, the front end is phenomenal. I'm not supposed to mention the fact that it has the double wishbone suspension, double A control arms. But it's great.
Why
it's like,
can't you mention that?
Just Jethro brought up a great point where he was like, everyone just thinks like you know, he's like, Miatas have double wishbones. Like,
right.
It's not
right.
like some revolutionary, but you know, the way people talk about Porsches, like, oh,
yeah,
they
yeah.
put double wishbones. It's like, yeah, just like a Miata's had since 89.
Right.
So, but it's just great. So it's a very solid front end, and that's what you want, you know, very, very direct steering. Is it going to be harder than the last GT3? Yes, it definitely is. And, you know, I think that they're going to maybe solve some of that when the Touring comes. And, again, we don't really know anything about the Touring yet. But
right, right.
The last Touring, despite what the internet says, was identical to the car with the wing.
Yes.
Except that they put another 100 pounds on the rear of the Touring for the pop-up hydraulic spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to soften the shocks ever so slightly to deal with the extra 100 pounds. But the
that
front...
really cost... That was 100 pounds?
Yeah, it's hydraulic fluid in the motor. Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, maybe it's 75. I don't know. But
so
yeah,
what,
it weighs
you know,
a lot more.
What Johnny's saying, what Matt Farah was also saying, Zuckerman, is these are two different rides, the
right.
Touring now and this GT3 with the wing.
We think.
We hope that it'll be more of a Touring, you know, no sports seat, comfy seat experience.
That would be
so
smart.
So you have
smart
a bigger choice.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of, you know, it's I don't know, not the GT3's perennial problem, but if you think about the 991.1, right?
Right.
It comes out PDK only, no Touring, no nothing. And, you know, the orthodontist goes to the Porsche dealer, that's the new expensive one, give me that. Oh, my God, this is miserable. It's not like my 911. It's a hardcore track car. And then not that they softened it for the 0.2, but they made it better. You know, and so I maybe they're just getting ahead of themselves with the touring. We don't know, though. They're going to – I talked to Porsche. They're going to announce the touring in about 2 months.
You just announced it.
Yeah. no, they're going to announce what it actually is. And it might
Might
have a backseat. But to me, it drove
–
Might have a backseat.
But they've learned that That's more options is better for them.
Yeah.
The more versions they make of these things, the more they sell.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
They had – look, they had – I was the same conversation I was having with Porsche. They had 28 iterations of the 991. And I was like, hey, I drove 26 of them. Do you know anyone else that doesn't work for Porsche who drove that many? And he didn't know that. But anyways, yeah, so they need to do that. But end of the review – to me, the new one felt a lot, an awful lot, like the last GT3 RS.
Right,
Felt a lot like that, just in terms of, like, stuck to the road, no lean, and a much stiffer, punishing ride, and loud. It felt to me louder. I drove Misha's 993 Touring recently, and it felt louder than that. And I don't think it has thinner glass. I just think it has a little bit less sound insulation. So
I heard somebody comment that it was loud, but did not seem to produce in relation to the noise when you hopped on it. That for all of that noise and fury, there should have been a little more motivation.
No, I mean, 500 horsepower from an engine that goes to 9,000. Like, yeah, I'm not going to complain about it. It's still a great engine. The other super cool thing they did, giant, massive yellow shift lights come up. This is a PDK car, but when you get in your red line and when you're in manual, so it's like, that was a problem I always had with the 991 GT3s was, you know, at 7,000, it's fucking loud. And so you shift, but like peak horsepower is at 9,000, right? So this is great because that way you don't have to keep looking down at the tack. Even if you're looking left or right in your peripheral, you'll see these big yellow lights flashing.
Oh, that's
at you.
Cool.
It's great. I thought that was really, really great.
It's funny, you know, having sold some 991 GT3s, you get this question from all of the amateurs. We want to have the download of you. Did you go past the rev limiter?
No.
And I think that's funny. Like, it's impossible. When you're talking at 9,000, I never hit the rev limiter in a GT3. Never.
You got to work to do it. You could do it, but you got to work to do it. And look, the computer will tell you. The computer tracks every single thing.
Can you really over rev these cars?
I'm sure you could figure out a way to do it. Yeah, if you did some, you know, like this, hitting the pedal a split second before shifting.
But what you're saying is, like, to the point where it affects the value of the car.
Well,
somebody looks at the computer printout and goes, oh, yeah,
right,
20 over revs.
They ask us, they want the download, so we don't want to buy it if it's been over revs.
Yeah, right.
And
does that mean anything?
Guys, are you fucking kidding me? No one's over revved this. No one's over revving these cars. It's not happening.
I don't think
I ever got into the 8,000s in one of these cars.
Yeah, you could do it. The press cars and anything that goes on a track will probably get an over rev. But remember, an over rev is one over rev is 1 millisecond over 9,000. So I'm sure Porsche's like engineered in, like, you know, you could have a bunch of over revs and you're not going to actually hurt the engine in any way. And that's what they'll probably have to do for like the RS version, is like take it to 9,500, you know, something like that. So I don't know. It seemed very cool. I'd love to have more time with it. And I just really want to drive the manual, because as cool as PDK is, that engine screams for a manual, you know.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this microchip shortage.
Isn't that crazy?
I was on Farrah's show, and one of the listeners was asking me about why targets are so hard to get. Is it the microchip shortage? And I was like, what is he talking about? Big article in the New York Times over the weekend about this shortage, and then at the car show again, we're hearing about Jaguar shutting down, lots of manufacturers just shutting down their production, like Ford shutting down like four or five
plants.
You think
this is phony? You think this is a phony?
Well, let me tell you something. It's not phony, because the Tesla we ordered for my wife, which was coming this week, has now been punted a month and a half.
But phony in the
sense... Well, hold on. It was already late. It was already due. And we were finally like, oh, we made it to today. And then, boom, end of June, maybe. Maybe. And
you don't think this is a purposeful kind of a shortage of chips?
No, it's not.
There's no price collusion here. Price fixing.
Listen to this, Zuckerman. Do you know how many chips are in a car, an average car that's made, new car?
No idea.
3,000 plus per car, per new car.
Is this what they're making? Did they know to make this shit? I've heard of Chip Glutz in the past, right?
Well, no, it's a supply line issue. It had something to do with the COVID, the pandemic, the weather, the shipping, and that disaster in Texas that happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Problems in China. It is a big problem across a lot of products.
Well, what's crazy,
products.
What's crazy is the one that I was like, this can't be real, but was I think it's Ram and Chevy. If you buy a new truck, you get one key. And then when another microchip shows up and they can make more keys, you can go back to the dealer and get your second key.
Right.
But isn't that's wild to me. That's
yeah, and, like, and Peugeot was going back to analog instruments.
You read that?
That was funny. They couldn't have anything. I mean,
hey, all for it. The Gunther, all analog instruments. That's what
are you
doing?
They getting analog instruments? Where are they finding
VDO, you know? VDO's dying to sell you some analog gauges. They've been waiting.
I was just
surprised their moment.
That Peugeot was making cars. I was just like, wow, they're still in business.
Wait, but what's the name of the new Peugeot owner? Do you know that?
Stellantis.
Yes. What the hell is a Stellantis?
It's some sort of...
It's the drug you're going to be on after your surgery. After they put that thing up your dick. You got to take Stellantis on Friday nights.
If I remember, it's like you know, you have the Roman gods, and then before the gods were the Titans. I think it's one of the Titans was named Stellantis.
Was it Kraken a Titan?
Release the Kraken.
It's one of those.
Release Stellantis.
I talked to a guy at Stellantis, and he said, well, you should have seen the names we turned down.
What was wrong with Peugeot?
Because you're merging PSA with FCA. I mean, it's just, you know, it's Stellantis.
Not take Stellantis if you are allergic to Stellantis. Do not take Stellantis. You may suffer diarrhea if you take Stellantis.
If you've had an erection for more than 8 hours, kill yourself.
Please stop taking Stellantis.
Possible side effects include
analog gauges. Diarrhea. Did we mention indirect
throbbing boner?
Throbbing boners.
8 hours.
Stellantis. Yeah, they're not going anywhere. I like the big creature named Stellantis better, I think, than the drug. But it is a really bad name. Really bad name. So what is Stellantis?
But you know, here's
they're
the
Peugeot,
thing.
And aren't they Chrysler? Or?
Everything.
It's everything.
Fiat,
right?
Chrysler.
So they
Jeep,
dumped
Ram,
all
Peugeot.
Of the wounded. Who was the genius that dumped all these wounded brands together?
His name.
His name
his
is
face.
Bill Stellantis.
Bill.
Do they have anything good?
Name it
in
after
that group?
Myself.
Yeah, I mean they got Alpha. They got Ram, Jeep. They got Citroen.
Is there any A player in that group?
I mean, A player. I don't know.
You're talking niche market, like okay, Ram.
I mean, profitability wise, Jeep is the A-est of A players. Like,
and what about Ram?
Ram prints cash too. Those are great. You know, Chrysler's not very good right now since I think they're down to a minivan in a 14-year-old car. Fiat's in trouble. Alfa is a great brand. They have two great products. They're not selling. Maserati.
Goodbye.
Maybe not. I don't know. But they're also going electric. That's the other thing. Everything's going electric. So it's totally a
what
weird
can you
time.
Buy this whole Stellantis thing for? Like, if I had a couple $1 billion, could I be Mr. Stellantis
I think
and get
could.
All this shit?
Yeah. Tavares. His name is Tavares. Peter Tavares, I think.
Like Greek shipping
Tavares Stellantis.
You see
what he did?
It's going to be a Greek name.
No, he used to be head of...
Stellantis Tavares.
Nissan.
Oh, head of engineering ends up owning all
not
of...
Not owning. He's a CEO. I don't know who owns it. I mean, I don't
this
know.
Is a scam here. Right? There's some but way they're milking...
16 brands.
They're milking, them all. They're milking value out of the death of all of these brands. They have put all of the bad investments into one group, and it's going underwater.
Maybe. Or they just get rid of everything except for Jeep, and they're the most profitable automaker on the planet.
Do not take Stellantis if you are vomiting blood. My favorite line in any of those is, do not take the drug if you're allergic to the drug. That's one I just like, well, how would I know if I've never taken Stellantis?
Your
do not
eyeballs.
Take Stellantis if you are allergic to... Oh, thank you. If I'm allergic to cashews, I won't eat them either. I mean, that's insane. No, stop taking my picture. I don't want my picture taken right now. Let's talk about this Targa 4S right here.
Not
now, see, we can all look at it.
All right. It's gorgeous.
This car is really interesting, right? It's
best-looking Porsche.
Is it Gentian blue? It is truffle brown interior. I wasn't crazy about the spec, but the internet loved it. It's such an interesting car to drive because it's a very beautiful car to look at. The exterior styling is wonderful. I learned a little bit about the Targa history, that back in the day when they were making the 356 Cabriolet, Porsche was in fear that the United States would ban convertibles.
Yeah, that was a very real, in the 70s, that was a very real possibility.
And
yeah.
So they created the
Targa. The 60s. Yeah.
They created the Targa, which is an Italian word for shield, and put this visible, still there to this day, roll bar on it to keep folks safe, and the Targa was born. I'm not a Targa guy. Zuckerman and I have an 82 that we love, but these new ones, choice I would ever make. I find them to be a little noisy, though. In classic Spike style, there was a lot of buffeting. So you put the top down. I was driving it downtown. Lots of buffeting. I brought it out to the Cars and Coffee yesterday, and they said, "But you didn't push the thing up."
I was going to say, "Did you push the air net?"
I did not know about the thing right atop the windshield, Zuckerman. Is a little button, analog little.
There's a little flap that pops
air
up.
Redirectional
air
redirectional thing,
and that cures the buffeting problem.
It doesn't, but it does.
Helps. It helps.
It helps the buffeting, but it's still noisy.
Well, the top's off.
But I just look. It's a great car, hugely popular car, and people love it. Price point, I think, is like 136 sticker. I think this one's 167.
Lots of profit.
Acoustically, though, when you look at that back, it feels like, I always feel like I'm in the center of an acoustic guitar, like sitting a little low in an acoustic guitar. It always plays, the sound is always a little off. And I mean even the radio and the rest of it. I love 992s, and it performs like a 992, and it's great.
Very pretty.
It's just not for me.
I think these are the best looking 911 since the 991 Targa.
Beautiful, right?
I would
agree. Beautiful.
The team that did the roof, like watching the roof open and close, is just a work of, like, you know, if you're into watches, it's like just, you know, this beautiful mechanical ballet.
How come I can't get the top to open with my button like everybody else can? Is that just not something
stupid? I think you have to hold the thing inside. That's probably why, because you can't.
Because you're stupid.
Yeah.
Take your Stellantis and shut up, Zuckerman.
You have an extra chromosome.
No, but with... But look, there's no button for it, but everybody on the internet seems to have a button that opens.
I think they have a kid hiding, like, you know, below the door.
Really?
It. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. They scam it.
The same team that did the Cabrio roof, it's like eight engineers. They worked this out.
It's beautiful when it opens up.
I love Targas. One of my best.
But you can't open or close it when the car is in motion. That's also a little bit of a negative.
Can't you go like 20 miles an hour?
Thing no, like
no,
the
no, no. You have to be at a standstill. Yeah. It is not like a cabriolet.
Okay.
Which 19-second roof is it's a little tricky. Yeah, like you're
19
you're,
seconds.
Yeah, you're
there's
hesitant.
A lot going on. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but it, you know, like I was on the PCH and I was at a red light. I was kind of hesitant to kind of start the process, right?
Because
the light must change.
Cadillac Elante speed. Yeah. Very slow, that roof.
So again,
but it's the whole roof. You're moving.
I will tell you again, though. It must be emphasized. This Target does cure all the look issues with the 992.
This is
a great looking 911 in 992, and there's other 992s that kind of challenge looks wise.
Well, that's the surprise, is how much people like this car wherever I go. I'm not the one who's liking it as much, but so many people love this 992.
Performance wise, it's a touch. I mean, I'm waiting for the GTS, the Target GTS. It's a bit of a letdown.
I thought
the S would be a little sharper than it was.
Right.
It's also the heaviest 911.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bad thing. That said, I once took a 991.1, must have been 0.1, Targa around the Nürburgring for like, I don't know, 10 laps or something. And I had the time of my life. Like, I love Targas forever because of that. And then I drove at 175 miles an hour up to Hamburg from the Nürburgring, just like cruise control on the Autobahn.
With the top?
Top down. Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I had the top down.
You didn't
the
get
Nürburgring.
Sucked out like
no,
a rag?
No. It was great. I loved
just
it.
His
I
beard.
Loved it. I loved it. So I'm very pro Targa.
Okay. But don't you really? To me, GTS and Targa top seems to be paradoxical.
No, because I love convertibles. I love hard tops. You know, it's a Swiss Army knife. You know, you get
I know,
a lot
but you
of
got
the
GTS
stuff.
For sporty, but you got all that weight.
Yeah, but there's so much, you know, freaking power now and all-wheel drive and Porsches. You know, even though it has all that weight, it's still lighter than everything else, you know. Like that probably weighs as much as a Corvette. You know, so it's a light car.
You know what it has? You know what it has in it that I really started appreciating? And Zuckerman, you would love this. And I didn't think it would work, and it does. It has a lift in it, which it doesn't, frankly, need. Though I, in areas on my street, like at the end of the street that I come down on Sunset there, you know that there's those big divots, right? On this car, and on the new GT3, I've heard, when you hit the lift, a little message comes on the screen that says, would you like to memorize this spot? And the lift will turn on automatically when you get here.
Just to burst your bubble, the new Corvette does that. It's been done that for a year.
It's called geofencing.
Geofencing. Tesla does that.
But
it's great.
Porsche is now doing it, and I'm here to tell you it works. So now every time I come down to the end of the street, every time I go into my garage, it's there, it works, it goes up by itself, and I don't have to think. So how about that, Zuckerman?
Well, you say I don't have to think, that's the problem with this world.
But I don't want to lift. I mean, because it could be 25 times to go get milk. It can be,
I like little challenges in my life.
Well, you need a Gunther Works then, my friend, because you want to talk about a car with a tricky lift.
I would need a spine transplant before I could sit in that seat. That is a beautiful car. I sat in the seat for 10 seconds and I found it excruciating.
We're talking about the Gunther Works.
Yes,
but segued. Let me tell you about the lift, because I was actually on the phone with them, giving them my dad.
Well, why don't you just give the listeners just a quick top line of what it is.
Right. Bury the lead.
What it costs, how much it
this
is.
This is how you do it.
What it's based on.
Yes. Do it the right
Everyone
way.
Knows the Gunther
Let's not
works.
Talk over each other, gentlemen. Go ahead. Set up the car.
Someone's
coming in and out. That's why we're stopping.
Yeah, it's okay. It's officially called the Porsche 993 Remastered by Gunther Works. That's
so they don't get sued.
Porsche's legal department came up with that. All right.
Remastered.
It is a 993. They take it down to the metal. The only thing left is the metal, the windshield wiper arms, and I believe the bell housing from the transmission. Everything else is new, including the carbon fiber body. It actually is their own design. It weighs, I've been saying 2,300 pounds. I've been wrong. It's about 2,600 pounds.
Very light still.
Very light. 435 horsepower from a 4-liter air-cooled motor. It did, with Randy Pope's driving it, it did a 130.99 around Laguna Seca. A McLaren P1 did a 130 point something or other. A Porsche 918 Spyder did a 129. The first time Randy did it, he did a 130 in the 918, then he did a 129. So this is on pace of $1 million, 1,000 horsepower, hybrid cars, right? And it's an air-cooled Porsche. So it kicks ass. Now, that said, on the freeway, it tramlines a lot. It's so loud you can't hear. doesn't have a heater. It hurts Zuckerman's spine to sit in it for 10 seconds, but it's a very serious performance car.
Wow. I can't believe they're so expensive.
$750,000 carbon fiber.
They're only making 25. It's carbon fiber.
That's it.
It's $750,000 before options. This one's probably $850 the way it sits.
Right.
But the lift, so this is what they got to fix. Look how low it is. So it scrapes on everything. Even with the lift, it still scrapes a little. But the lift is...
But that's a carbon fiber lift that you're scraping, right?
Yeah. I've talked to them all about it. You hit the lift, it goes up, and then if you turn the car off, it goes down. Every other lift in the world
stays up.
The bag stays up.
Yep.
And so I was coming up my street, and my neighbor's coming down the street, so I hit the brakes and I stalled it because. And then I had the lift up to get in my driveway, and I forgot that it goes down because I stalled it, and I. When I turn the car back on. So they said they're going to see if they can figure out a way to make it stay.
$1 million off of the value.
This car you have here, is this just a prototype that they have out for testing?
I'm not sure if this is a 000 or if Peter, this is his car. But this is the second time I've driven this car. I drove it the first time. I sort of handed them a list like, I would change this. And Farrah did the same thing and a couple other people. And they changed it all.
Is this Aratium Green? Leaf.
I think it's called Greenwich Green.
Greenwich Green.
Yeah.
It could be a ratio. It looks kind of leafy, too. Maybe.
Yeah. It's more Aratium, though. You can see it's just a little lighter.
It's very pretty.
It's a gorgeous car. And even I'm not a big fan of this color, but it's a stunning car.
Oh, you know what? If I if the seats were a little cushier and it was just dialed back a little bit, not so hard edged. If they just dialed it back 10% from that racing peak.
Yeah.
It would be an amazing all-day car.
So this is what we told him last time we drove it, cuz this one, the way it sits now, is dialed back about 40% from where it was. It was insane. I mean, it was so loud.
Wow.
Like, I was like, because, you know, they're like, oh, you can, like, go to the racetrack and take your wife to the opera. I'm like,
sure, yeah.
Your wife is, like, deaf, in a coma, you know, like, it was just awful.
Might as well Dutch oven her.
The opera.
The opera. Take your wife to the opera.
Take your wife to the fucking opera.
Called the Dutch oven opera.
So they did, like, if you have the sport mode off, it is, like, you know, it's quieter. It's not quiet, but it's quieter than it was. Misha, my buddy, he drove it. He has a GT3 Touring, and he was blown away by it. Because I said to him, I'm like, this is the most hardcore car you'll ever drive. Like, I know it looks like a rich guy's toy, but it's hard fucking core. And he gets out, he's like, I heard what you said. I didn't believe you. Now that I've driven it, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He said, I need something that splits the difference, which I think is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're a 993 fan, you go here. If you're a 964 fan, you go to Singer
for one of these deals. Singer, I have no idea. But I think if you look, it's one of 25. It's good. They've already gone up in value. If you just want a very, very, very special 911, you know.
Yeah, they're going up.
And they're guaranteed. They're not going to make more than 25
of this. They've announced they're going to do a speedster, and then they have another car coming after that. I think it's going
to
be
that's good. I mean, when you keep the numbers down, that's better.
And I asked him. I said to Peter, hey, do you wish you made more? And he's like, yeah, honestly, I wish we would have, but we can't. We're not going to be like Pagani and, like, you know, the
right.
we keep making the last edition for like 20 years, and
right.
We said we're going to do 40 BCs. Now we're doing 80, and tanks the value. And he was saying, look, and I'm just repeating what the guy told me. He was saying 3 have sold privately, you know, since new, and they're about 100,000 over what people paid for them.
Money, money, money. You know, lots of way to make money.
Phone. Let's go to some questions here.
Yeah. Anyways, I like Gunther. Good point. Good thing.
Can we take a break?
What's that?
Quick break.
Yeah, go ahead.
You need me for the? I got an emergency at the office. Can you finish without me, or you need me for?
Yeah. You can go. We're almost done.
Okay. How much time? Oh,
but why do we have to take a quick break? I can just keep this all in. Just run. We're only going to do 10 more minutes.
Listen, I have to
actually go. 5 more minutes.
Yes.
Do you want to stay or you want to go?
5 minutes. Okay, let's go.
Okay. Do you think that they will ever make an electric car for us convertible lovers? Says Sishak.
Yes.
Good question.
Yes. Every car will be electric within, you know, 12 years or so, whatever it's going to be. So, yes, if they sell convertibles,
good point,
there will
though.
Be electric convertibles.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet, right?
Yeah.
You've had a series of GT cars. Why have you selected and kept the GT2 RS versus the GT3 RS and the GT3? Well, all of those have been sold at this point. We've let all of them go because Zuckerman and I, and I think many Porsche owners, are on a 2 or 3 year cycle of things where they have us hopelessly hooked like heroin dealers or fentanyl dealers, whatever the kids are taking these days. And we've got to get the newer, the better, the stronger. And we love GT cars. We always will. But we cycle through them, I think, like a lot of folks. It is interesting, though, that there's been talk of this GT3 burnout.
Mm.
That there's a bit of burnout. And I know Zuckerman and our private conversations with each other, and even with Mr. Seinfeld, we were like, yeah, well, maybe. Maybe we'll get a GT3. Someone came up to me yesterday and said, yeah, I was just offered one at Sticker out of the blue. And it made me wonder. It's like, you know, are people tired of it? Are they sitting back and waiting a little longer to see what special cars might be coming along past the GT3?
Could a little that. Bit of that, and I feel in a way, I got a little played with the 991. Like, I had one of the first 991 GT3s in LA. It was a 14, one of those, the funny year. And it just seemed like I was getting sold a new version every 6 months. We own so many of those cars, and that left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. That I felt like I was played for a sucker a little bit, if I may be honest.
Well, you know, it's your money.
Yeah, but we have so much
they
fun
took
those
it.
Cars.
Yeah.
You know, it's just where you jump back on the carousel.
I think
that's
part
all.
Of it, though, with being offered at Sticker, I think the reason maybe there's some that are, you know, that offer is able to happen is because the price jump from the 991 to the 992 is pretty significant. I think a lot of people.
Where is the GT3 coming in at?
I think it's starting at like 165. Crazy. I think
a little higher. Yeah,
but you know, so if you're leasing one for 165 and has a bunch of options, and it's like time to get a new one, it's like suddenly the car is $30,000 more. It's like, you know what? I'll hang on to my old one. I like it. And that's the other problem. They made such great freaking cars. Like, why
get a 997 GT3 was at a relatively inexpensive price point for GT3s. They did not figure out that they could charge more for that car.
Right. And it was a great car. It was just, I think the 991 GT3 was such a good jump, so I don't know. It's
Ms. Mateo, 88. Spike first, no question. Just want to say you guys are the best in the business, and we love your podcast, SCR for Life. Thank you, man. We love doing it. How would you compare Mark RM61? How would you compare the RSE Tron GT to the Taycan? I don't think any of us have driven it yet. We are all getting drives. I would imagine there are a lot of similarities and some differences. But if Audi has engineered the Audi driving experience into the car, the way Porsche engineered that Porsche vibe in the Taycan, I think they're going to be successful with it, because I believe there's a lot of Tesla burnout right now.
It is interesting, you raise a good point, because like, how do you differentiate two electric cars?
I would imagine they're going to be the same, but what I would be looking for is a little bit of that RSX Avant experience that I had a few weeks ago in this electric car. If they can give me a piece of that, then I'm in on electric, and nothing against Tesla, but I find them bland. Some of these electric cars I find golf carty and a little bland and devoid of personality.
Well, it'll be interesting, because the Volkswagen Group does this already with platform sharing, right? So like the Cayenne and the RSQ8, that's the same platform underneath,
right?
And so is the Urus and the Bentayga, but they do find a way to make them feel different.
Yep.
So I'm excited to do this comparison.
And finally, SRA Nella, you guys really have to make the blip shirt sheriff corpses equal Porsches. A true Zuckerman classic.
Corpses equal Porsches.
It's funny and I like it, but these really inside shirts don't sell that well. You'll buy one.
Well, if you had a good image,
skeletons and Porsches, Grateful Dead skeletons.
But most
trucking
people,
or that 7-car pileup you were talking about, where dead bodies everywhere. Like that.
I've got the thumb, Mr. Mozzarella.
There's a way to do it. There's a way.
You think that? Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, but right now you can buy the new and updated Spike First and Coloring Book, and we're going to be having a little Cars and Coffee car show out in the Malibu Pier in a few weeks. I think maybe in June. Maybe it's a little too far out to celebrate that. I think we're going to be promoting this coloring book all year.
For mine. Maybe a couple of skeletons inside a Porsche driving and waving.
Now, here we go.
Yeah.
We'll turn it all over to Blip Shift and get the shirts out the door for you. Corpses. We could maybe just have a little contest on how many we would actually end up selling, because my guess would be 30.
Yeah.
As opposed to the hundreds of the other ones.
You want to sell hundreds, not 30.
That would not be good. Anyway, it's been a pleasure being with you guys this week. Sorry for the short show, but we all have work to get back to. Joni's got to get out and shoot. I've got to get out and write. And Zuckerman's got to get out and sue the world.
Fucking sue you.
Yeah. I hear they're going to make the police liable for all those shootings. Ooh, time to cash in.
Ching. I wish you could see his eyes just getting larger.
That should happen. That should happen, by the way, and I hope it does. That benefits all of us, Zuckerman. That's all I have for you. I want to thank Audi for coming out to the Cars and Coffee. It was great, and taking that nice picture of me. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.